Sorry, it's not forget it. Just we'll do it later. I hope your hearts and your minds are prepared to receive from the Lord. I absolutely, truly believe you're going to be blessed this morning by what we're going to do. If you were not here with us last week, we introduced a new sermon series called Testify. And the entire purpose of this series is to really show you and to talk about how important your testimony is. And why it's important that we share our testimony and that we testify. Because when you testify, you are actually bearing evidence to what is true. When you testify with your story with Jesus Christ in it, then you're testifying to that which is truth. Jesus said in John 18, he said, "For this purpose I was born, for this purpose I came into the world, to testify to the truth." And so here we are now, 2,000 plus years later, and we are the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters of the King, and we are ambassadors of his kingdom. And we have been given this mandate in Scripture to testify of what we've seen, to testify of what has happened and took place in our lives, what we've seen with our own eyes and what we've seen take place in our heart and the life change that's taken place. I want you to know this morning that you are a conduit of truth. You are a conduit of truth, and your story bears evidence and magnifies that which is true. In a world that is so bombarded with false and fake, and everyone's believing it, your story points to the truth. And it is so important that our stories go forth. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. And so each week we're going to bring a couple people up to the witness stand. Last week we had Brother Rich, and this week we're going to bring somebody else up, two more people up to the witness stand to testify to the truth that they've seen, of what they've experienced. And so at this time, I would like to call up to the witness stand, Earl Tebron, if you would please make your way to the witness stand. Earl, in your way, brother, would you please testify to the truth that you have seen in the gospel?
Thanks. My way?
In your way.
Okay, check. Check. All right. It's a little different than just saying it to be, you know, talking, so y'all kind of bear with me. Forgive my shortcomings. God's alive. I'm surviving by what he done for my life when I wasn't alive. I was on the wrong path, living like a car crash at the time. Really couldn't tell me I was all bad. I had my own mind, never did heroin, never carried the nine in the cuff of my hand palm. But I did what I did, and I lived what I lived because I thought it just was who I is. See, I had the knowledge of God since I was a kid, and I had a problem with God because I wasn't his, because I was born with a sinful mind, and the flesh made me chase all these big behinds, and it never really mattered that I had his feelings shattered, stabbed him with a dagger when I felt as though I had to have her. I would go get her because I was a go-getter, but when you're having sex with a girl, you're a hoe with her, and I ain't never liked the fact of how that sounds. I'm that clown. Everything I did was a fat brown. Piece of turd, but the word that converted me. If I were to die in my sins, it would murder me. Murder me fervently. Never see the pearly gates. I will be in hell, burning eternally. Why would I go if I really ain't gotta go? Why would I wanna be in hell with a crowd of folk? I don't even know. Unspeakable thoughts pass through my mind. I don't even wanna go. I don't want to go, so therefore, if I ain't got to go to a place, I ain't really got to know. When you standing at the sun's throne, are you really hot or cold? If you lukewarm, then you got to go. If you going bye-bye, then you going fry. What you going to say to a God that does not lie? What y'all going to stand on? What you really got for the man with the answers? Okay, I can wait all day just to hear what you got to say, but it doesn't really make any sense anyway. Why would I stand through an answer that I know really wouldn't cure your sin cancer? Right about now, you were sick of me as I paint a sicker scene that can seem with your nicotine. But the chemo came and died on the cross while we lift our little fingers to him, flipping him off. But we were bought with a price that we can't pay back. All because what he did way back, wearing the cross like a kid with an East Pack. Died on the cross for the lost, but now he's back. See, we were raped into sin. And everybody born under Adam is kin. And everybody born under Adam is sin. And ever since then, we've been badder than him. Not by choice, but our natural reflex. God sent the son because he knew that we see death. But here's a way that he made it all fair. Bring the light to the dark. Now the choices are all theirs. Choose life through Christ. Repent because your innocence, that's been lost since Genesis. The only way to get it back is to interact with the God that wore the crown of thorns like a fitted cap. I don't want to go, so therefore, if I ain't got to go to the place, I ain't really got to know. When you stand at the sun's throne, are you hot or cold? If you lukewarm, then you got to go. If you're going by, then you're going fry. What you going to say to a God that does not lie? What y'all going to stand on? What you really got for the man with the answers?
Yeah, well, Earl, the prosecution's got allegations all against you, man. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus, but these records show that you're not perfect. How do you defend yourself from that?
Y'all found out what I did? Yeah, leaving the world, you right. It was like Peter, when he was walking on the water, he asked to lead the boat and all of that. And Jesus said, come on out. And Peter fell short a little bit, you know, while he was with Christ. So I guess I got a little bit more to say. I had that Peter experience, walking on the water, living life how I'm supposed to, with the holy culture. But it seems when I do good, I get a cold touch. The wind rushes me hard. It's suspect, my focus on God. The outside elements start to change my insides, and where I would thrive would turn to barely get by. My eye in the sky while Christ stands in front of me. I was walking on water, but waves seem to trouble me now. If I take a step, I'ma go down. Man, get these thorns off of my brow. I'm a punk, man. When I try to prove to this world, I'm a tough man. But all I'm saying to Christ is I don't trust, man. And trust, man, I stayed in dirt like a dustpan. Felt my soul go round like wheels on a bus, man. I know you there, but I feel highly deserted. But now that I'm drowning, I know I deserve to die in these currents that's pulling me under. Now I try to fight with my thunder, lightning speed. I don't want the life that I lead. It's not even me. I don't even want it for me. If it wasn't for me, I can go and comfortably breathe. But now my breath is short and I can't even see. Ray Charles couldn't tell this for me. How I comfortably breathed, how I comfortably believed in all the girls that the internet streamed and beamed onto my TV. And now I'm crying the stream. It's so ironic how a metaphor be. I used to see the net is better for me. But now I'll die in the stream. Don't want to drown because I'm trying to cream. But head down trying to clean what the Lord done seen. I broke the levees down to New Orleans. But tears couldn't move all these. Pains that I be feeling is too real. I had to move the ceiling. All this and you still ain't bitter on the quitter. See, when you mess up, all you got to do is fess up. And this kingdom allows you a place where you get your best up. So, yes, I'm a mess, and yes, I've messed up, but the Lord that died for me, he hung up for my hang-ups. Yeah!
Psalm 71, 15 through 18 says, with my mouth I will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. He says, with the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come to come. Everybody say, I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody. We learn something in this passage right here that the psalmist has been taught by God from a young age of his wondrous, powerful deeds. And I love how it doesn't say, you have taught me through somebody else, but Lord, you directly have taught me. You have shown me, you have revealed yourself, you have demonstrated your acts, your righteous acts and deeds in my life. And from a young boy, as a child, you have taught me. And he says, even in his old age, the things of God, they have not lost their wonder to him. He's an old man now. He's seen it over and over and over again, the faithfulness of God, the power of God. And he's saying now in his old age that they have not lost their wonder. And so the psalmist sets himself a goal here. He sets himself a goal to tell people what God has done. And in verse 18, he even contemplates his old age, and he even sees this as his calling. That this is what God is calling to him now, even in his old age. That the one thing I must do before I die is tell somebody what God has done in my life. There's a song from 1979 written by the name of Don Francisco. I was reminded of the song a couple weeks ago, and the song's called I Gotta Tell Somebody. And the story and the song of the story is tells the story of Jesus as he's going to heal Jairus' daughter. And Jairus' daughter, and some are saying that she's dead, so don't even bother Jesus. He can't heal her. She's dead already. Don't even bother him. And Jesus says, no, she's not dead. She's just asleep. And so he goes over to Jairus' house, and he goes to see this young daughter. And with all authority in his voice, he speaks to this daughter, this little girl. And he says, little girl, get up. Little girl, get up. And immediately, she stood up. Immediately, she stood up. And it says that everyone was overwhelmed and amazed. Overwhelmed and amazed. The song ends as Jesus is telling him, make sure you don't tell anybody. And the scripture says, Jesus was told, gave him strict instruction. He said, don't tell anybody of what I've done. Now's not the time, right? And so the song ends with just Jairus very silently saying this.
I got to tell somebody. 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 I got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. I got to tell somebody, got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. I got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. I got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me.
If you've never heard that song, it's called I Gotta Tell Somebody. And I encourage you to listen to it because it'll pump you up. It'll absolutely pump you up in that story. But that's the heart and the soul of what we're going through here and talking about. And throughout the Gospels, there's stories that are similar in which people who were healed, they just could not and they would not contain what God has done in their life. When Jesus came and touched their life in such a personal and radical way and changed and transformed their life, they couldn't contain it anymore. And so even throughout Scripture, Jesus was saying, don't tell anybody yet. People were like, yeah, right. How am I supposed to keep this in? I got to tell somebody. It was too incredible not to tell what they had seen taking place, right? In the book of Acts, we see the apostles and they're testifying to the resurrection. They were the ones that were blessed enough to see it with their own eyes. And they're testifying with their words in the book of Acts because that's what testifying is. It's not just living a good life in front of people. It's testifying with your mouth of the goodness and the wonder and the power and the ability of God. And so they're actually testifying with their mouth. A living spoken word is what the word means, testify. And so they're saying it with their mouth. And they are in their own way, they're in their own words, you can hear the urgency. And they're sharing their side, and they say they're telling people what they had seen with their own eyes, what they had heard with their own ears, and what they even touched with their own hands. They were giving a personal eyewitness account to Christ's resurrection and the power of God. A personal eyewitness account of what God has done. And you know, that was the primary way of how the gospel spread throughout the world. Testimony. I saw this happen. This took place in my life. God did this in me. God did that in somebody else that I know. He's real, folks. That's how gospel spread. They didn't have the word of God. It spread by testimony, evidence of the truth, bearing evidence. Your life bears evidence. Your story, when Jesus intersects your story, your life now bears evidence to the truth. You are a conduit of truth in this world right now. And so in the same way as the apostles, we are given this mandate to tell others. To tell others what we have witnessed firsthand. And now we haven't seen Jesus face to face. We haven't had that face to face encounter. We haven't got to put our hands on his scars like the apostles did. But our experience with Christ is no less genuine and no less proof of his supernatural work in our lives. Your life bears evidence that he is alive and that he is well and that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so as followers of Christ, we should be willing and submissive to God's word to testify, to bear witness and to give evidence with boldness and humility of the transformation that has taken place in our lives. Have you ever watched like Law and Order, or have you ever been in our CSI, or no, just Law and Order really, and all those Law and Orders, like six of them now, isn't there? And you ever been in a court hearing or whatever, and you know that to testimony is not what the lawyer does, it's what the witness does, isn't it? The lawyer is there to convince somebody of something. Not the witness. The witness is not there to convince anybody. That's the lawyer's job. The lawyer is there to not pressure anyone to make a decision. I mean, the lawyer is there to make it, you know what I'm talking about. The lawyer is there to pressure someone to make a decision. The witness is not there for that. Simply, the witness is there to tell what they had seen. To be a spark of evidence to the truth of the case. Okay? That's what a witness is. And they're there to share what's taking place in their own lives, and that's what we're to do, to share and to testify about what God has done in our lives. I got to tell somebody. I've just got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. Nobody can give your testimony except you. Nobody can tell the story of an all-powerful God intersecting your story, your mess of a story, and transforming it and setting it off on a better trajectory. Nobody can tell your testimony except you. And no one can argue of the power to the power of your testimony. Nobody can argue the power of your testimony. And you know, the beautiful thing is you don't have to be a theologian to tell your testimony. You don't have to be a scholar to know what you know took place. To know that you know that you know that God is alive and real. And this is how he's real. I love the story in John chapter 9 of that man who was born blind and was healed on the Sabbath. And he's called before the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, to give an account for what had happened. And I love his answer. His answer is just simple. It's just so simple and profound. What does he say? He comes up before the Pharisees and he's like, look, I don't know what you're accusing Jesus of. I don't know anything about that. There's only one thing I know. There's only one thing I know, he says. At once I was blind and now I see. That's it. I can't explain it to you theologically how that took place. All I can tell you is this is what I was. This is what was happening. This is what happened when Jesus touched my life. This is now the trajectory of my life since then. Years ago, there was an American Indian who was asked to explain the grace of God, explain what God had done in his life. And so what he did is that he gathered a whole pile of leaves that are falling like you see outside, the fall leaves, and he gathered up a whole pile of dry leaves and made a big pile of them, and then he dug up an earthworm, and he took the earthworm and put the earthworm right on top of the pile, and then he takes a torch and he lights the pile of leaves, and the thing goes up in flames, right? And at the very last second, he goes over to the pile, he pulls the earthworm off, and he says, this is what God did for me. This is how Jesus rescued me. It's that simple. It's that simple. You don't have to be a scholar or a theologian to tell what God has done. Your testimony is about what you've experienced. Your testimony is about what you've seen and what you've heard and what change in your life has occurred as a result. And make no mistake about it. Your story is important. Your story is important. Every single person in this room has a different story. Every single person in this room has a different context of where they were and then what took place when God intervened in their life. Every single one of us. And every single one of our stories, hear me here, every single one of our individual stories tell the ultimate story. And so your story is extremely important because Jesus is the all-star of your story. Your story is important because your story should point to the greatness of Jesus Christ and what he's done in your life. And it's so essential that for us to share our testimony and to testify of what God has done, of what we've seen with our own eyes, what we have heard, what we've seen taking place. My life was this, and you know what? Now it's this. And it's so important that we share it not only for people who don't know God, but it's essential also for the body of Christ. I absolutely believe that. And what we're trying to do over the next few weeks is create a culture of testimony. Testifying, you see, because not only is your testimony that day when Jesus entered your life, and then therefore, but every day should be a testimony. God should be doing something in your life on a continuous basis. And so in the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear testimonies not just of conversion experiences, but they're going to tell testimonies of what God is doing last year in their life, what God has taken them through, what he's taught them, what he's shown them, what he's revealed, how he's demonstrated his power and goodness and faithfulness and mercy today. And so what you're doing is as the body of Christ, and we're creating this culture of testimony, it's going to build us up. Because what we're doing is we're opening ourselves up to one another, and we're not closing ourselves off. If we close off ourselves to one another as the body of Christ, then we're not going to grow. We're not going to grow. I've been saying for the past few months that I believe that when we as a church increase and steadily increase in our vulnerability and in our the authority that God has given us, that's when the church is going to thrive. As we increase in both authority and vulnerability. And so our testimony is so important to the body of Christ. But know this. When you testify, when you bear evidence to the truth, you are informing all who are listening of God's power, his ability, and his intentions to deliver on the promises that he made. That's what happens when you testify. You're informing everybody around you that God is all powerful. This is what he can do. This is what he has done. And this is what he will continue to do because he promises that he's going to do it. It keeps alive the demonstration of God in the consciousness of people. And in a world where we are increasingly more hostile to the existence of God. Increasingly more hostile, right? I mean, anybody who's older than me can say that in America, God was a natural part of things, right? Your parents, it was faith and God was a natural part of growing up. But you don't have to look two decades to see that the work of the enemy has been to silence the work of the lives of the people of God. My kids aren't even allowed to talk about God in their school. They can't pray. It's a no-no. Teachers aren't even allowed to talk about God. There's been this intentional effort of the enemy to silence the work of God in our lives. And so I believe more than ever, now is the time for the church to arise. More than ever. And now is the time for you and I to arise and to lay hold of the authority that has been given to us as ambassadors of the King, to take our testimony and testify with boldness of his great and marvelous works, however you do it, in your way, in the way that God has wired you, in the way that he has talented you and gifted you. But when you testify, you keep alive the demonstration of God's work in the consciousness of people. It keeps it alive. And as it's been silenced over the last two decades, now is more than ever time for you and I to testify of what God is doing in our lives each and every day. It's so important. This is how the gospel was spread when there was no gospel. This is how it took fire. It was like a wildfire that just flew. Testimony. God did that for you. He did that for me too. Wow. When you testify, it gives evidence that of what he has done through his power and his love, and it gives evidence to that of how it has affected radical change in your life. It gives evidence to the truth. Secondly, when you testify, you invigorate and refresh the minds of those who already trust in God. Like when we just heard Earl's testimony, When I heard testimony, and I didn't hear that second part in the first service, but I'm reminded that God is still alive and that he's at work because of this man's testimony. I'm reminded and I'm encouraged and my mind is refreshed that God is alive and at work in our midst. And don't think for a second that you and I don't need to be reminded that God is at work in our midst. That is probably the greatest challenge for all believers, is that we are challenged with doubt. There's no secret there. God, are you really there? Are you hearing my prayer? Have you abandoned us, God? Right? That is the we're constantly challenged with doubt. And as we hear Earl's testimony and we hear the testimonies of others, what happens is that our minds and our spirits are refreshed, because we are then once again reminded that the truth is that God is at work in our lives right now. He's alive right now. He's in this room right now. He's alive, and he is demonstrating his power in your life. Can I get an amen? He is alive at work. And finally, when you testify, you are restating the truth that God is present in all situations. When you testify, when you speak with your voice and your mouth what God has done and the power and the deeds and his righteous acts and his greatness, as we just sang for half an hour doing, right? You are testifying, you are restating the truth that he is present right now in the lives of his people. He's active right now. And your testimony is a source of encouragement. Your testimony is a source of inspiration. Why? Because you are a conduit of truth. And nobody can deny, nobody can refute the evidence that you bear of what you've experienced with your own eyes, what you've heard with your own ears, what you've seen with your own, what you have encountered God. Nobody can refute that. Nobody can argue the power of it. Because it is truth. Because it is truth. And so your testimony inspires people to the truth. The truth is that if God did that for them, man, he could surely do that for me. If God blessed them, man, that means that he could bless me too. If God brought them through that, man, he could bring me through that too. It's an inspiration, right? If God healed that person, then man, he surely can heal me too. That's the God that we serve, and that's the God that we point to with our testimony. That's the one that we bear evidence to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about how our lives are these living letters. Living letters that are written by the hand of God, and they're intended to be read by other people. They're intended to be heard and read by other people. You see, God is revealing his ultimate story through your life. He is revealing and he is demonstrating who he is through you. He's telling this incredible, awesome story of redemption, forgiveness, mercy, grace, faithfulness. He is telling this story, revealing it to the world through your story. Continuously. Not just the day you gave your heart to him, but continuously. And your story is important. Don't leave here without thinking or without knowing today that your story is extremely important, and people need to hear the power of God in your story. And if your story, and I want to encourage you to write your testimony out. Or begin to, like, put down the things that you would want to say. Practice it. Learn how to say it in 3 minutes. You've noticed that it's been, like, 3 minutes. Each person is coming up here to share what God has done in their life. You don't need to talk people's ears off. You don't need to talk about yourself, because the story points to him, right? And so your story should point to him at all times, but your story is so important because it bears evidence to the truth that he's alive and at work in this day and age. And the world needs this now more than ever. And so at this time, I'm going to call up to the witness stand our second person today, Mr. Judah Pinto. And if I could ask Anthony, if you would just come on up and play. Psalm 66:16 says this. You have it up there? Thanks. It says, "Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell you what he's done for my soul." Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. Judah, as you stand here on the witness stand, would you please tell the audience the evidence of God in your life, please? Thank you.
Joyfully. You know, over the last 4 years when I rededicated my life to the Lord, I mean, I was a mess. My heart was a mess. My life was a mess. And he jumped in and just started transforming and changing everything, starting with my heart. But something specifically that he brought to mind about a year ago that I felt in sharing was actually a healing testimony that I received from asthma. Since I was a little child, I had asthma, always on medication, and I had food allergies for about a decade, what really hindered a lot that I could eat. But about a year ago, I heard this pastor on a podcast give this testimony of him praying for and healing a woman who had asthma and food allergies. And when I heard that sermon, it just touched me deep inside. I really just felt it deep, and I just prayed to the Lord, Lord, I claim that testimony for myself. I want that healing for myself. And really shortly after that, when I was just in time with the Lord in prayer, he brought that testimony back to me, and he urged me, pray into that, that the asthma, that isn't yours. That's not what, that doesn't define you. That's not who you are, and I want you delivered and healed of that. So in that time, I just pressed in with all intentionality to be delivered of that, that I was not going to give any more room for this. So just between me and the Lord, I just pressed into that, and I rebuked the asthma, and I just received the healing from God. Heaven was just open over my life, and he immediately just healed me of that, and I felt the asthma just leave my body. And since then, I haven't had any symptoms, needed any medication from that. And then just shortly after that, I just realizing that he healed me from the food allergies, I was able to just start eating things slowly and just realizing that they had no effect on me, things that I hadn't been able to eat in so long, some of my favorite foods as being like a child. I was just sharing like watermelon, one of my favorite foods. This summer, I was just able to just eat tons of it all summer long and just give God the thanks and glory for it. And I really felt like in sharing this testimony that I just put on my heart to share it out that today there's an opportunity really for healing. And the testimony that I heard that he urged me to pray into and receive that healing, that there's actually healing today for others. So I talked to Pastor Ryan about it, that I really feel today is just an opportunity for prayer, really, that for God just to give glory to Jesus, for his name to be lifted high, because it's above everything else. Anything in our lives, anything that's afflicting us, the name of Jesus, everything must bow and bend a knee to it. So,
And that's what we're going to do. That's how we're going to end the service, and we're just going to be obedient to that with the Lord blessing your heart. And so, as the worship team just plays some music, you know, if you need healing, come on up and get prayer for healing. Come on up and get prayer for healing, and not just physical healing as well, but maybe emotional healing, maybe mental healing. There was a word this morning for healing of past regrets. And the word of the Lord to this church was this, maybe somebody in this place that you fear as though that your acts from the past are going to pass on to the generations. And God says, no, it's not going to pass on to the next generation. And you can have encouragement with that. And so if that spoke to you, come on up and we're gonna pray for you. But now is the time. Like if you want healing, look, this is evidence that God is alive and at work. He is at work. And so right now, just come on out of your seat. If you need healing, we're going to pray for you, and we're going to anoint you with oil. And as the worship team just continues to play a song, come on up now, and we're going to pray for you guys together.